Brothers and sisters, it's good to see you all again. I want to turn first of all to Deuteronomy in chapter 28. See, this is an Old Testament verse, Deuteronomy in chapter 28. And it says here in verse 47, this is what the Lord was speaking to Israel. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in the lack of all things, and he will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. It's not a threat. The Lord was telling the Israelites the importance of being thankful for the little things God has done for them and to serve the Lord with joy. One of the biggest habits, worst habits of all human beings is to complain. Complain about this or complain about that. Something or the other is wrong. And there is no end to it. Everywhere you go, in the office and when you travel or anywhere, people are complaining, 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 and God's people must be different. Our homes must be different. As we begin another year as a church, let's make sure that we eliminate one sin from our life. Concentrate on it. Lord, please help me to eliminate complaining from my life. God has done so much for us. Look what he says. Let me read it again. Because you did not serve the Lord with joy and glad heart for all so many things God has given you. You complain that you have so little. Take a walk in the slums of Bangalore and see what they have. And you'll be thankful for what you have. Teach your children when they complain, oh, this food is not good. Tell them of the poor people in the slums, some of them pick food from the rubbish bins in order to eat. We must teach our children to be thankful and to stop complaining. But then that will begin if the parents stop complaining. So, dear brothers, I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. But here is a habit. It'll change your life if you give it up, this habit of complaining. And let it never be said about us, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, then you serve your enemies. The reason why we're very often defeated is because of this complaining habit. Let me show you another example from the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles, you know where 2 Chronicles is? Before the book of Job and the other small books before that. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles 20, we read that a great multitude, verse 2, was coming to fight with King Jehoshaphat, who was a good king in Judah. And he was so scared. So many people, about a million people coming to fight with him. And Jehoshaphat began to pray, verse 3, and to seek the Lord. That's what we need to do when we face trouble from all sides, and there may be trouble in the days to come. Seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast. Sometimes it's good to fast and pray and seek the Lord. And then God gave a message through a prophet. And we read in verse 14, the Lord said, listen, verse 15 middle, don't be afraid of this great multitude, for you don't have to fight the battle. God will fight for you. Listen to that little expression, the last part of verse 15. Can you remember that? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Don't be afraid or discouraged when you face those big problems. The battle is not yours, but God's. Can you remember that? The battle is not yours, but God's. God will solve the problem for you. So tomorrow, go down against them. And so you know what the king did? He said, you won't need to fight in this battle, verse 17. The Lord will fight for you. I've experienced many times in my life. I've been a Christian 64 years, and in many times in my life, I found the Lord has fought my battles for me. I did not have to fight. All types of enemies have come against me because I serve the Lord. The Lord has fought my battles for me. So what did they do? The next morning, early morning, verse 20, how did they go against the enemy? Now, generally speaking, when people go to fight against the enemy in those days, they put the people with bows and arrows and all right in front. Right in front. People with bows and arrows, and those are riding horses and spears and all that. But you know what Jehoshaphat did? He had already heard from the Lord, you don't have to fight. The Lord is going to win this victory for you. So you know what he did? Listen to this. It says here, he, right in the front of the army, he put those, verse 21, who sang to the Lord. No bows and arrows and spears and horses. No. People who were banging cymbals and raising their hands and praising the Lord. The army had a whole lot of people in the front praising the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord, verse 21. And this is a very wonderful verse. When, verse 22, please remember this all your life. As soon as, when means as soon as they began to sing and praise the Lord defeated all their enemies. And they were routed and the enemies ran away. And verse 24, when they looked in the wilderness, they found that all of them had, the Lord had killed all of them and they overcame their enemies. How did they overcome the enemies? Not by fighting, but by praising the Lord. It's a wonderful weapon. Because when we praise the Lord, we are saying, oh God, you are in heaven. You're on the throne. This problem is too much for me. We face many situations. I face many situations in my life. But I say, Lord, this problem is too much for me. I can't handle this. So I'm just going to praise you. But you're on the throne. You love me with an eternal love. You chose me before the foundation of the world. You purchased me with the blood of Jesus Christ. I was not purchased for 1,000,000 rupees or anything. With the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm your son. I'm your precious son. I praise you that you're my father. And what I cannot solve, you will solve. You may take me through trial for some time. But you know that in that trial, you'll make me spiritually rich. And at the end of it, I'll come out triumphant. So in expectation of that day, which may come only in the future, may not come tomorrow, but it may in the future, I'm praising you right now. That is faith. Faith is to sing his praise before we see the answer. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do that. In the Old Testament, they would praise after they saw the answer. You know, like when the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea. After they crossed the Red Sea and they came to the other side and they saw all the Israelites defeated and buried, then they began to sing and praise the Lord. But it's not like that with us. See here, in Psalm 106, it's a very interesting psalm. Psalm 106, he's talking about the Israelites and the Egyptian armies coming behind Israel in Egypt. And it says here, the Lord, verse 9, rebuked this Red Sea, dried it up, and he saved them, verse 10. And verse 11, you know the story, how they came through the Red Sea and the waters covered, verse 11, covered all the enemies. Listen to this. Then, verse 12, they believed his words and sang his praise. When did they sing his praise? After the problem was solved after the enemies were defeated, that is old covenant. But what we read in Jehoshaphat, even though he was in the old covenant, before the enemies were defeated, it says they went out and began to praise the Lord. That is the new covenant spirit. I don't see the enemies defeated yet. I'm not going to be like those people who, after the enemies are buried under the sea, then they began to sing the Lord. No, I'm a new covenant Christian. I sing before the enemies are defeated, because I have faith that Jesus defeated Satan on the cross once and for all. We must believe that. Many of us have been taught Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Correct. But many have not been taught that Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. He cannot touch us. Why then does God allow trials to come into our life to make us strong? Haven't you seen these advertisements of gymnasiums? You see that sometimes in Lingaraj Gurumarnal, a gym. And outside the gym, you'll see a picture of a muscular man standing like that, saying, come inside and practice in this gym, and we'll make you muscular like this. What do? If they go inside that gym, they subject their muscles to tension. They have to pull things, and they have to push things with their legs, and every muscle in their body is subjected to tension, tension, tension. And they do that for 4 or 5 years, and then you see the muscles in their body. It's quite exhausting. They perspire. They go there for 1 or 2 hours every day for 4 or 5 years. And all that they do is subject every muscle in their body to tension, tension. That's how they become strong. The principle is exactly the same spiritually. God has to bring trials into your life. That's the gymnasium. That's the gym where you praise the Lord and your muscles are subject, spiritual muscles are subject to tension. And at the end of 3 or 4 years, you come out as a triumphant man. God has taken me through many, many trials in my life. It has made me strong. And I'll tell you one thing from my 64 years of knowledge of the Lord. He has never, never let me down even once. Never. He never let me down with my financial needs. We never starved one single day. Even though I left my naval job with nothing in my bank account, God took care of us. He took care of my children. He helped to educate them. We never asked anybody for money. We never trusted in any man for anything. A Father in heaven cared for us. I say that for your encouragement, my brothers and sisters. Some of you may be going through struggles and difficulties with your children or your financial problems, problem in the office, maybe in your house or your family, troubles from different people. I want to tell you in Jesus' name, learn to thank the Lord before you see your problems solved. Before you get the answer, learn to thank the Lord, because that is an act of faith. It's saying, my Father in heaven cares for me. I haven't seen the answer yet. I don't know when the answer will come, but I'm going to thank the Lord. For what? The answer has not come, but I thank the Lord that I've got a loving Father in heaven who cares for me, and he knows exactly what I'm going through right now. So I don't know what you're going through, my brothers, sisters, but I want to tell you, God knows it. Learn to thank him. You know, many of you seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit, very good desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many people say, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. Some people get it. The Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all do not speak in tongues. That is very clearly taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do all speak in tongues? The answer is no. Do all have the gift of healing? The answer is no. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. One verse, 1 Corinthians 12, 30. Does everybody have the gift of healing? You tell me. Does every believer have the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. So tongues is not the main thing. Gift of healing is not the main thing. But I'll tell you what is the main thing in being filled with the Holy Spirit, which every person filled with the Spirit will have and should have. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This is what we teach in CFC. We believe that God gives tongues to some people, but something more important that God gives to everybody. Ephesians 5, verse 18. There are two commands here. Have you read them? Ephesians 5, 18. Two commands. One, don't get drunk with wine. Do you obey that? I hope you do. Second command, be filled with the Spirit. Do you obey that? You can't fill yourself. Be filled with the Spirit means present your body and your heart and your life and everything to God and say, oh God, you come and fill my heart with the Holy Spirit. You've got to present yourself to God. And when you are filled with the Spirit, listen to this. When you are filled with the Spirit, here is what will happen. You'll begin to speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, verse 19, singing and making melody to the Lord, always giving thanks. Do you read that? What is the mark of a spirit-filled person? He will be always giving thanks. Not always speaking in tongues, but always giving thanks for everything in his life. I take that for myself as the mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That there will never be a grumbling in my life, never a complaining. Why are you doing this, Lord? Why you have not answered that? Why you haven't done that? And when I stop complaining against the Lord, you know what will happen? I'll stop complaining in my home also. I'll stop complaining in my office. I'll stop complaining when people are not obeying the traffic rules on the road. Such a change will come in my life. There'll be a spirit of thanksgiving and thanksgiving. And that will produce, like, you know how these women wear perfumes on their body? There'll be a sweet perfume coming out from our life. It's wonderful to be with a brother or sister who has a spirit of thankfulness. Do you like to meet a brother or sister who's grumbling and complaining? Every time you see him, he's got something to grumble about, something to complain about. Oh, brother, this thing, that thing, that thing. Always some sad story. You say, boy, I don't want to meet that brother again. But you meet somebody else who's filled with the Holy Spirit, with a spirit of thankfulness, who's got cheerfulness in his face and stirs up your own faith and tells you to thank the Lord, for God will solve your problem. God will help you because he's done mine. Always thankful. Imagine if every brother here, I don't know how many there are in CFC right now, 450, 500, whatever it is. Imagine if every one of you developed not just thanking the Lord on Sunday morning. No, that can be a ritual. But developed a spirit of thankfulness to have it all the time. Okay, before we reach the 49th anniversary of CFC next year, we've got 366 days, because next year is a leap year. In 366 days, that's coming up 12 months. Lord, will you please help me that I will never complain about anything? I can't do 12 months at a time. I can live one day at a time. Today, Lord, after I go home, let me finish with complaining. Tomorrow morning when I get up, let me begin by giving thanks. Always giving thanks, verse 20. You know what the word always means? There's an expression that is used in radio and television called 24/7. 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is a modern way of saying always. So, 24/7, giving thanks. I don't mean opening my mouth and saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Some people, that's a ritual. It's a spirit. All the time with a thankful spirit, thankful for your wife. Maybe there are 101 things wrong with your wife, but then there are 101 things wrong with you also as a husband. Be thankful. There are so many good things. If you look for it, you'll find some good things in your wife, some good things in your husband. Thank God for that. Don't keep on complaining against your children. They are struggling to grow up. They are small children. They are struggling to grow up in a difficult world. They find it difficult in school. They are not so intelligent because you are not so intelligent as parents. Don't blame them. You have to help them to give thanks. God is a good God. Teach your children that God is a good God. He's a loving Father. And he cares for you. He'll take care of you, my boy. He'll take care of you, my little girl. long after daddy and mommy are gone. He'll take care of you. Introduce your children to your Father in heaven, who loves them and cares for them, who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for them, to forgive all their sins, and he will take care of them on earth and one day take them to heaven. We have to introduce all our children to a loving Father, and we have to demonstrate that in our lives. I pray that this coming year, the 49th year of CFC, it'll be a year of thankfulness. What did we read in the beginning in Deuteronomy, the first verse I read? Because you did not serve the Lord with thankfulness, you're going to serve your enemies. I never want that to be said about me. Lord, I will always serve you with thankfulness. I'll always give thanks for everything, whatever may happen. And I'll tell you why. Romans chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Look what the Apostle Paul says. There is something we know. There are some things we know for certain. 2 plus 2 is 4. We know it. Tomorrow the sun will rise in the morning. We know it. This evening the sun will set in the west. We know it. Tomorrow the sun will rise in the morning in the eastern side. We know it. We know certain things, definitely. And here is another thing that we know. More certain than the sun will rise tomorrow morning. Do you believe the sun will rise tomorrow morning in the east? You can say with certainty, I am 100% sure the sun will rise tomorrow morning in the east. You say, how can you be so sure? Because that is the way. The earth keeps rotating on its axis and it happens. It's happened for hundreds and thousands of years. It'll happen tomorrow morning also. Okay. More sure than the sun rising tomorrow morning is we know God makes everything work for our good if we love him. And you want to fulfill his purpose in your life. My dear brothers and sisters, do you love Jesus Christ? Is there anybody here who doesn't love Jesus Christ? I hope not. I hope you all love Jesus. Look what he did for you on the cross. You love him, I'm sure you do. He's got a purpose for your life. And you know what that purpose is? It says in the next verse, he called us, verse 29, God called us to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. God's purpose is to make you and me like Jesus Christ in our character. That is his purpose. And God makes everything work together to make us like that. The good mentioned in verse 28, he'll make all things work together for good, does not mean you'll get a promotion or you'll make more money or you'll be able to buy a new house. No. Something million times better than that. He will make you like Jesus Christ. I would rather become like Jesus Christ than have millions of rupees or have a brand new house. No. The greatest thing in the universe is to become like Jesus Christ. And God is going to make circumstances like you go into the gym and your muscles are built. God is going to make circumstances around my life to make me like Jesus. That's why he arranges circumstances in your life. That's why we give thanks. Lord, I thank you for this. I don't know why this difficult thing has come into my life. I don't know. I would not choose it. But you have arranged it with a purpose. And I'm going to give thanks in faith. If you see the reason in front of you, you don't have to have faith. Oh, I can see the reason. For example, you go to the office and the boss says, I'm giving you a promotion. You're going to get 5,000 rupees more from tomorrow onwards. It's easy to give thanks then because you see something in front of you. But what if it is something you don't see? Can you give thanks? Say, Lord, I don't know what reason you have purposed this with what purpose you have sent this trial into my life. But Lord, I have learned throughout the Bible, I have seen that people go through trial, they come out spiritually better people. And I have heard many testimonies of godly people who've gone through trials and become better people. Some time ago, we played a video in CFC Bangalore of an American sister. I think she's about 70 years old now. When she was a young 18-year-old girl, she dived into a lake and hit a rock and broke her neck and had to be in a wheelchair for 50 years. She's still on a wheelchair. And then she got cancer and to be operated for that. And boy, what a cheerful woman she is. That's why I played that video in CFC once. Her name is Joni Erickson. Really thankful, a very humble sister. Famous all over the world now, but very, very humble, thankful, paralyzed from the neck down. Imagine if you had to sit in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down for 50 years, and you teach others how to give thanks. Everybody will listen to you. What a testimony that is. Your trials are nothing compared to what she has gone through. She has learned to give thanks. I was encouraged when I heard a testimony. You can listen to a testimony on YouTube. You just put Joni Erickson. You can listen to a testimony yourself. The Lord has taken many of His children through many difficult paths, but He's made them Christ-like. She, at the age of 70, she's such a Christ-like lady. No complaining or grumbling, just thankful. And that's a challenge for us. I like to hear the testimonies of people who have gone through trials and who learned to give thanks in those trials and have no complaint against God. No complaint at all. In the Old Testament, people complained. In the New Testament, we come to a new level. Jesus never complained about anything. As soon as they put the nails into His hand on the cross, the first thing He said was, "Oh Father, please forgive them for what they have done. They don't know what they are doing. They're crucifying the Son of God. They don't know. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing." I say, Lord, make me like that. When people hurt me, they don't know that I am a child of God. They are hurting a child of God. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Develop that habit, dear brothers and sisters. Father, forgive them. As soon as the hurt comes, as soon as the nail went in to both hands, he said, Father, forgive them. I want to be like that. Always, Father, forgive them. Develop that habit of forgiveness and thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, for what you have allowed in my life. You're going to make me a stronger Christian at the end of this gymnasium training that you're giving me at this time. I thank you with all my heart. I want you to turn also to Luke chapter 24. How were the first disciples filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus told them in Luke 24, just before He went up to heaven, Luke 24:49, He had ascended, risen from the dead, and He was standing on the Mount of Olives. And Luke 24:49, He told His disciples, "I'm going to send the promise of my Father, that is the Holy Spirit, upon you. You must stay in the city until you get that power from on high." They had to wait another days before the day of Pentecost. And He led them out, verse 50, to Bethany and lifted up His hands and blessed them. And as He was blessing them, Jesus was carried up into heaven. And what did they do? They came to Jerusalem with great joy. And what did they do for the next 10 days? Here it is, verse 53. For the next 10 days, they were continually in the temple praising God. Praising God, praising God. Imagine praising God every day. And you know what happened at the end of 10 days of praising God? We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, suddenly a noise from heaven, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. But it doesn't tell us in Acts chapter 1 and 2 what they were doing in those 10 days before they were filled with the Spirit. The last verse of Luke 24 tells us they were continually praising God. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and believe that He will do it, and keep on praising and thanking God. Have that spirit of thankfulness. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's how He did it the first time. They were, remember that verse, the last verse of Luke 24. They were continually in the temple praising God. And one day suddenly they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They did not know how long they had to wait. They kept on praising God until the Spirit of God filled them. Learn to give thanks. There are tremendous results that come from a thankful life. Your life will become more beautiful and radiant, Christ-like. Your home will become a little bit like heaven. Why? Because in heaven, nobody's complaining. Complaints are all in hell. When you complain, you're making your home into a little hell. When you, instead of complaining, if you start giving thanks in your home, you can bring the atmosphere of heaven into your home. What a wonderful thing to do in this coming year, to bring the atmosphere of heaven into our home. Let's learn to do that. And let me show you another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now there are 101 areas where I don't know God's will. Those are thinking of getting married. Young people, you don't know who is the right person. You don't know God's will. You're looking for a job. There are so many jobs you're trying to applying for. You don't know God's will. But I'll tell you one area where you do know God's will. At least one area you know God's will. Here it is. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will. In that difficult circumstance you are facing right now, give thanks. You say, how can I give thanks? Just force yourself and say, Lord, it's difficult because it's such a painful experience I'm going through, but I believe you're watching from heaven and you know exactly what we're going through. Like Job said, he knows every detail of what is happening to me. Beautiful verse. He knows every detail of what is happening to me. That's how the Living Bible paraphrases. I think it's Job 23:10. He knows every detail of what is happening to me. And therefore I give thanks because He knows. That's why I give thanks. So even when you don't feel like it, give thanks. Because it says, in everything give thanks. This is God's will. Now there are many areas we don't know God's will. But one area we know God's will. Here it is. This is God's will. In every situation, I don't know what situation you are facing right now. But I want to tell you in Jesus' name, if you give thanks, God will bring a deliverance. You remember that story I read earlier in 2 Chronicles 20? That big multitude of million soldiers were coming against Jehoshaphat. And instead of taking bows and arrows and spears, he just praised the Lord, praised God, He's on the throne. And the enemies were defeated. The problems were solved. That's written in the Old Testament for our encouragement. In everything give thanks. This is the way of victory. And when we stop giving thanks, that is the beginning of all backsliding. All backsliding begins when you stop giving thanks. And I'll show you that also in the Bible. Romans chapter 1. In Romans, you read of the terrible condition into which people fell. It says in Romans 1:29, describing the terrible condition of people. Filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, Romans 1:30, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient of parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and a whole lot of things. The terrible condition of humanity. But you know, is describing how they went down. It says God gave them up, verse 24, to do impure things in their body, to worship idols, verse 25. God gave them up to degrading passions, where they became homosexuals, in verse 26 and 27. And they got into a depraved mind, verse 28. Okay, this is step. They're going down to 29, 30. What was the first step downwards? What was the first step downwards that took them all the way to the bottom in verse 30? Shall I show you? See this. Verse 21. When they knew God, they did not honor him as God, and they did not give thanks. That is the first step downwards. Then it went down to all types of idolatry, homosexuality, all types of sexual sin, and finally to all those wretched things mentioned in verse 30, 31. Remember, the first step of backsliding is when you stop giving thanks. I hope you learned something today. That's why we need to learn to give thanks in every situation. They were continually giving thanks to God, and suddenly from heaven was opened and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you my own experience. Before CFC started, for many years I was struggling, and defeated, backslidden. And I said, Lord, I'm constantly defeated. Please help me. Then I was praying with another brother. And I said, I prayed so many times for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said, do you think God doesn't love you? Won't he answer your prayer? If he called you to serve him, he will give you the Spirit. Just thank him. You know what I did one day? I remember that day, January 12, 1975. I knelt down with that brother and I just said, Lord, I don't have any experience. I don't have any sign. I believe you have baptized me in the Holy Spirit, because I prayed for 6 months for it. I fasted and I prayed. But I did not believe. I said, today, Lord, I believe. You have heard my prayer. I believe you have baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And I got the assurance. After I said, Lord, I believe, thank you. And suddenly I began to speak in tongues. And from that day till today, the graph of my life started going up. It never went down. What did I do that day? I gave thanks. I said, Lord, till then I was asking. That day I said, Lord, I've asked enough. Now I'm going to thank you for it. You have heard me in faith, without any sign. And that's when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. Without any sign. The signs came afterwards. So I've learned from my experience. Amazing things can happen. Okay, one more thing in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it talks about the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful for the one body. Aha! Not only for my circumstances, let me look around at my brothers and sisters and thank God for them. Learn to give thanks for CFC. Have you ever gone before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for making me a part of CFC. Thank you for bringing me to a church where they never ask me for my money. They're only here to help me. They want to help my children. They want to help my little children, teaching them in Sunday school. They want to help our young people to grow, become disciples. Thank you for CFC. Learn to thank God for the church you belong to. Don't just grumble and complain about this, that, and the other. You have a church which is 10,000 times better than what other people are facing in many other places. Give thanks, my brother. Give thanks. It says, you were called in one body and be thankful. Learn to give thanks for the brothers and sisters who are in this church. You say they are not perfect. Well, you're not perfect either. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. We're all pressing on to perfection, but we learn to give thanks for your wife. Have you ever got up? Have you ever knelt down before God and alone and said, Lord, thank you for my wife? Have you ever, sisters, have you ever knelt down before God alone and said, Lord, I thank you for my husband? Learn to do that. Even when they're not listening. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my husband. Learn to give thanks. It'll change your life. Finally, let me read one verse to you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I'll conclude with this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. We're going to reach greater heights spiritually by giving thanks for everything. 1 Peter 3, I want to read it from the Living Bible. Sometimes the Living Bible paraphrase is excellent. So please listen to me carefully. It's not exactly like this in your translation. 1 Peter 3:8 from the Living Bible. And now this is the word I give to all of you. Now it is all to CFC people. You should all be like one big, happy family. You should all be like one big, happy family, full of sympathy towards each other. That means don't criticize. They're going through some struggle. Be sympathetic towards one another, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Let me read again. Now this one word to all of you. 1 Peter 3:8. You should all be like one big, happy family, full of sympathy towards each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Let's follow that in the coming year and giving thanks for all things. Your life will be transformed. Your home will be transformed. CFC will go higher, reach greater heights than it has ever reached till now. Humble yourself. It requires humility to give thanks. Humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to follow this simple instruction Brother Zach has given us today, which I believe is from the Lord. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Please pray a simple prayer to the Lord in your heart. Say, Lord, I want to respond to what I heard today. I want to be thankful for all the circumstances of my life, even what I can't understand. I want to be thankful for this church. I want to do my part to be part of this family, full of sympathy towards one another, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds, bearing with imperfect people because I'm imperfect myself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters whom you have given to us as part of one body. Help us to love everyone, bear with their weaknesses, forgive them when they do something accidentally wrong. And Lord, help us to give thanks for not only our brothers and sisters, but for our family members. We thank you for all the circumstances you take us through. We believe you'll make them all work together for our good. For the glory, for your glory, we pray this will be true in our lives. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.